Good evening and welcome to In the Trenches with head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright, as the Northwest Missouri State football team coming off a win over Washburn this past Saturday afternoon in Topeka, winning that matchup 51-34. As Bearcats are continuing to play well, they are 4-2 overall, 4-1 in MIAA play coming into this matchup here this on Saturday when they travel to Edmond, Oklahoma, as they will face Central Oklahoma Saturday afternoon in a 1 o'clock kickoff. As Central Oklahoma coming in, as they are undefeated at this particular point in the season. So that ought to be a heck of a matchup coming up on Saturday afternoon. And joined by Matt Trenton right now on the coach's shows, we wait for the arrival of head coach Rich Wright. And Matt, looking at this Bearcat football team, they're playing some pretty good football right now.
Yeah, they got things rolling after a couple tough losses. Four straight, and of course we look back 2 weeks ago, a 14-9 slugfest against Emporia State that despite seven turnovers they find a way to get it done, and then of course the next week against Washburn in Topeka putting up 51 points. So this team can find ways to beat you all over the place. I think that's what's exciting right now too, is it's not just the defense has to play well. If they have to score a ton of points, it's been complimentary football at times. Now, not necessarily for a full 60 minutes week in week out, but you feel like once they do put it all together, they're pretty tough to beat already. We'll see what they can do in Edmond this week.
Yeah, and the Central Oklahoma team coming in with a lot of offensive firepower that they've got.
Yeah, Jet Huff, in his first year with Central Oklahoma, is putting up some big numbers so far, completing about 75% of his passes, 17 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. But the crazy part is, a guy that's throwing the football that well, they also lead the MIAA in rushing. So it's been a relatively balanced attack there for Adam Dorland and company down at Central Oklahoma. So it won't be an easy task here for this Northwest Missouri State defense, but we've seen year in, year out, Rich Wright always has that defense up to snuff, and they are awfully tough on opposing offenses.
Yeah, they certainly are. That Jalen Cottrell, the running back, that's really doing a heck of a job there. I think he's leading the nation in yards per carry, so that's something they'll have to watch for on Saturday as well.
And a guy that came to Edmond to be a wide receiver, and now he's transitioned over to be running back. And so yeah, they've got a lot of weapons out there in Edmond.
They certainly do. And we're joined now by Rich Wright, the head coach of the Bearcat football team. Rich, as you look at what your team's been doing right now, playing some pretty good football, coming off a good win over at Washburn this past Saturday.
Yeah, we are. You know, it was you're always looking for perfection. You never get it. But there were a lot of good things to take away from that football game. Felt like first half we played really well defensively. Second half, I felt like we played really well offensively. And now we just got to try and put it all together for 60 minutes. But there are a lot of bright spots.
You know, one of the parts of the game that kind of goes unnoticed until something goes wrong is the kicking game. Noah Gostella, this week's MIAA Special Teams Player of the Week, 3 field goals and perfect 6-6 on PATs.
Yeah, you know, he's trending in a good direction, and we're going to need him to. You know, you get into tight ball games against good competition, that's what you have to have. You have to, your specialists have to be able to come through for you, and Noah did a good job for us this weekend.
You know, and one thing I'd like to kind of talk about here just a little bit, just outside of when we're talking the kicking game here, not necessarily with the Northwest or college football, but the changes on the kickoffs for NFL, and it seems like a lot of times NFL rules eventually get down to the NCAA when they make some changes. Have you had a chance to watch much as far as the new kickoff
I've
rules?
Watched it. Gosh, it's been extremely boring. Just, I think everybody's defaulted in the NFL, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, as people start to get grasp around what the rule is and how to, you know, make it effective for them, that might change. I could see us adopting something similar just because of the high level of contact on kickoff and kickoff return.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it's accomplished its goal up to this point.
Not at all. It's just taken the whole play out of the game.
And then also another aspect of that to me is the surprise level for onside kicks is gone now.
It's just that whole component of the football game has been taken away. And, you know, the NFL, you know, we should all be about safety, but at the same time, you know, there are mitigating circumstances about what makes the game and not. There may be some other ways to modify things that would be maybe a little more prudent.
Now, you know, I like I mentioned a little earlier, it seems like a lot of the rules you see at that level eventually go into college football. What's the talk? Have you heard about any type of changes along those lines?
Usually, I when it first came out, I thought the next thing that was going to happen was within a year, that's going to be the adopted rule we have. There's been no discussion or talk about it, but we'll have to wait and see.
One thing that is a bit of a change this year, the two-minute timeout, kind of the two-minute warning at the end of the halves. What's your feeling on that?
I love it. Actually, I just think it's a good time in the football game. It gets everybody an extra timeout, in essence. For good or for bad, if I'm on defense, I probably don't like it. But, you know, at the same time, I think collectively for a football game in the fourth quarter when things are tight, I think it's a good rule.
Again, we're talking with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright, on In the Trenches. And we'll be talking a little bit of baseball tonight as well on the show as the new head coach of the Northwest Missouri State baseball team, Tony Jandron, will be joining us. And that's coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and Altar and Home. More at conceptionabbey.org.
In the Trenches on KXCV KRNW is underwritten by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Greek night every Friday, banquet rooms, and more. For additional information, agrestaurant.com.
And welcome back to A&G in downtown Maryville. We're broadcasting live on In the Trenches with head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Wright. And our guest this week is the new baseball coach at Northwest Missouri State in Tony Jandron. And Tony, great to have you with us here on the show.
Hey, I appreciate it. It's good to be here. And Rich Wright Show, what's better than this?
That's right. Now, during the break, you guys were talking a little bit about some things you have in common here, in particular, snow in the wintertime.
Yeah, you know, I'm from a little hick town in upstate New York, and Tony's from the UP of Michigan, and I'm not sure it gets more snowy than that. So,
yep, 4,500 in our town, and average about 260 inches of snow a year. So, used to removing it. Yeah.
So, how somebody that comes from that background with that kind of winters and probably springs as well, going to baseball as opposed to maybe hockey or some winter sports?
Well, you learn to get really creative with what you got. That's for sure. And I've started a lot of seasons and not even been outside, and you just kind of find a way. And that attention to detail, the fundamentals, you kind of take that road with guys and say, hey, we're attention to detail, we're working on our fundamentals, everybody else is rolling the balls out and playing games, so we feel like we have an edge on them. And we take that road, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but we're definitely trying to make some excitement out of what we have, you know.
Yeah, I know that you were hired, I believe, in early June into the Northwest program here. What are some of the main things that really attracted you to coming to Northwest Missouri State?
Well, certainly the culture, somewhere where I could kind of settle down with my wife. You know, this is my fifth stop, my 12th year coaching. Been bouncing around a little bit in the last 10 months, two stops. And we felt like this was a great spot for us. And I felt like home here. This is 4 months now I'm in, and coach's staff has came by and said hello to me. I just feel really welcomed and kind of felt that vibe through the interview process, and it just kind of all fit. And then you talk about one of the most competitive leagues in the country and in the MIAA. Why not? We're just excited to kind of do this thing in the baseball end. I know athletics has shown a ton of success. That, having that recipe and that background, that's huge. And then support, that support all around you. Other sports want you to succeed, and that's pretty special. You don't see that everywhere.
One of the things that really strikes me in looking at your resume here is that it looks like every stop along the line you've made as a coach, those programs have won.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx it here, John, but 11 for 11 on winning season. So we hope to do that here and you know, it's kind of in my DNA, but that's what we're going to strive for. But that's day to day. That's our work ethic and a way of life. And it just doesn't come from just hoping and dreaming about it. You got to go out there and put in the work if you want that. So,
and it looks like your team has been putting in the work this fall. You drive by Bearcat Field, see a lot of your guys out there day in and day out.
Yep, we're in a second month here, and like I told you earlier, once January hits, we're two and a half weeks, and we're 50 games, and we're off to it. So huge part of our development right now and just getting together and building that culture and having them understand our philosophy and what we're trying to ask from them. And I think it's fairly clear now it's about how well we execute, and we're, you know, up and down days, but we're pecking away, and we still got this month to kind of wrap things up here before November, and we settle down a little bit.
You know, Rich, one of the things Tony talked about just a moment ago, just coming in, just the feeling with among the coaches there, you know, in your offices and things, it really seems to me like it's a good group that really pulls for each other and tries to help each other win.
We've always been a tight group. I mean, that's a big – that's always been – it's really not even a point of emphasis. We're all in the same boat, right? And, you know, so just it's been infectious to watch the energy that's going on down the end of the hall and what those guys are doing. And, you know, it's just – there's a common bond in terms of coaches. And we all want the same thing. We all want to watch Northwest be successful in whatever sport we're playing, you know. And it's funny, Amy walks by. I'm the last office end of the hall, and when Amy, you know, on the other side of the hallway is a bathroom, and so every time Amy's in or out, I mean, she's in my office, and it's just, it's kind of how we all operate up there. It's one of the things when they built Lampkin that I thought was so cool, is that there are a lot of places that you go where the football coach is over here, the basketball coach is in a different building, the baseball coach, softball coach are in someplace else. We're all kind of centralized upstairs, so it makes for easy interaction, I would say.
You know, obviously every coach, every sport has its own intricacies of what you're trying to do, but overall the goal is kind of the same. You're coaching young athletes coming through the program, and I imagine some of the things really kind of, you can play off of each other and what maybe works in coaching kids with one sport. You guys can kind of talk among each other and try maybe adopt some things like that.
I'm going to really let Tony expound, but I'm going to give you a real quick one. What he just talked about, fundamentals, basics, you know, following a process, all those things are all things that we teach every single day. And so, you know, yeah, so I'll let him expound.
Yeah, and obviously all of us pulling on the same rope here, and then, you know, Joe Quinlan kind of leading the pack and just building a culture there. When you have a lot of successful people and you're around good people, obviously you're going to pull from one another. And like Rich said, we all want to be successful, and that's what I love about it. It's not, you know, their nose isn't down just straight in their sport. Our team is going to support other sports, as they should, and it's just a team effort in all this, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
What's been the first things that you're trying to do to implement your program here at Northwest?
The first thing we do is get indulgent community, quite frankly. Before first day of class, we had a youth event, had over 50, 60 kids here from the community in the surrounding areas, and had a good turnout, had all of our guys show up for it. We grilled out with them after. I think it's just important to show them that, hey, we want to give back, we want to help, and have these young people look up to some people and get some people out of our games and see what we're all about here. Then it's really, quite frankly, just getting to know the individuals. The first thing I did when I got the job, I called 50 kids. I don't know how many coaches do that. Usually it's a, you know, a Zoom call where everyone just kind of stares at each other through the COVID times. We're all used to that. And I wanted to have one-on-one conversation. I want to get to know everybody individually a little bit, see what makes them tick, and see what I can do to help them develop.
You talk about, again, getting involved in the community. I know, Rich, that's something that you've been big about with the Bearcat football team.
Yeah, you know, any way that we have an opportunity to get involved with the community, whether it be Big Brother, Big Sister, Habitat for Humanity, Let Us Dream, you know, doing reading programs for elementary schools, you know, working in elderly homes, those are all things that we kind of, you know, work towards and encourage our kids to do. You know, the special thing about Maryville is a small community, and where you can give back, it means a lot. And I've been at a lot of those places where those opportunities have happened. As a matter of fact, next week we've got Breakfast of Champions for Homecoming Week that's at Horace Mann. And just to watch the kids' faces when our players are in there, and to get an opportunity to interact with our kids, because so many kids from this area, you know, grow up dreaming to be a Northwest Bearcat. And so to be able to put a face with some of that, I think is very cool.
Well, and also, I imagine those kids want to go out and watch you guys play on Saturdays then, too.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about that.
And, Tony, again, looking at your resume a little bit, as a player, too, All-American player in college and a two-sport athlete.
Yep. And funny enough, I entered my freshman year of college. I knew way more about basketball than I did baseball. Once again, maybe it's that northern side that we just played Legion baseball. I didn't play high school baseball, which is probably pretty rare. But, yeah, I was a four-sport athlete in high school just because I wanted to be competitive. Everyone asked, what's your favorite sport? I don't know, whatever season I'm in. That's kind of the way I rolled. And I couldn't choose when I went to college. A very unique route, but I got offered a Division II scholarship, and I turned it down to go play Division III because I couldn't pick, and I felt like home there, and I thought it was the right fit for me. So I ended up, I was their starting point guard as a freshman, and found my way starting on the mound for 4 years, and was a two-way player as well in baseball, and played every game but my first game ever, my freshman year. So
okay,
it was a fun ride.
I got a quick question.
Sure.
So you were on the mound.
Yeah.
What were your best two pitches?
It's funny because I sometimes 3-0 I'd flip the slider up. That's how confident I was. And if I was fastball slider combo,
two seam, four seam. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I wouldn't even say I developed as a pitcher just because all the time I had, I didn't throw bullpens. I hopped in the game and I pitched.
Sure.
My senior year, we had four game weekends, a doubleheader Saturday, doubleheader Sunday. The first three I played shortstop. If any of them were close, I came and closed it. And then the fourth game I started on the mound. So, never had a sore arm.
Not a boy.
At least I didn't admit it. So.
At what point did you decide that baseball was kind of the route you wanted to take as a career?
After my sophomore year, I just kind of want to see myself take off because I never had that full commitment to one or the other. Baseball seemed like more of that route. Unfortunately, I've never been able to dunk a basketball and do those things. I think I was a pretty good point guard, but just wanted to see kind of where things would take off in the baseball world. I was stuck at 155, 160 pounds for 2 years, and it's a bad excuse, but I was able to gain 30 pounds after that, and saw my career kind of take off in the baseball world. So,
One thing you talked about being a four-sport athlete in high school, and I look at the players that Rich brings into his program. Very rarely do you see a player that you bring in, Rich, that is just dedicated to maybe football. You bring in guys that have been successful in wrestling or basketball and other sports it looks like it's something you feel very big about as far as trying to get guys in that have done a lot of different things.
That's something that we do recruit. We want multi-sport athletes. One of the things that we've found over the years is, and I'm not even going to name states, but there are certain states where kids that from seventh grade on specialize in a single sport, and they're competing in one area. I want kids that can compete across a multitude of areas. And I also want to be able to, once they come to college, be able to hone that in and develop them in a single area because I feel like their upside becomes so much better. But there are so many things that you can learn just from competing in different venues and in different sports, as well as being able to, now when I can hone that into, if I can train you to be a football player for 365 days, I can have a big time uptick. That kid from seventh grade to senior year in high school, how much better is he going to get when all he's done is focus on football? So yeah, we've done that with a ton of kids. We get a lot of small school kids for that same reason, just because we feel like the development upside is phenomenal.
I would imagine, too, if they're coming out of winning programs in basketball or track and field, if they're successful in that or wrestling, that just the knowing how to win, it plays a big role, even if it's a different sport.
Absolutely. And they have different strengths and weaknesses. So you have a guy that's a really good football player, but maybe he's a role guy on the basketball team, or maybe he's just an okay wrestler, or he's a solid baseball player but not a great baseball player. He's having to compete. He's starting to understand, what the dynamic of a team is and being successful encompassing in that entire role. And I feel like that's extremely important.
And Tony, let's talk a little bit about that from a baseball standpoint. I've heard different former major league pitchers that talk about how they're against really having kids start pitching at a young age and just primarily just throw that about the importance of being in other sports as well. Just talk about your philosophy on that.
I'm with Rich. I mean, 100%. We got a small Iowa kid here in the 25 class, won back-to-back state basketball championships, was a runner-up in the other multi-sport kids, and that's, I love that because, like he said, the upside, you're going to see it when he devotes to that time, that work ethic, that commitment. You're going to see him take off. Yeah, there's a little bit of how much better can this kid get when he is specialized since age 7 or whatever that is. So I love it. I love the competitive nature. I feel like the work ethic is kind of that secret sauce, and we feel good about our coaches and facilities and support. We can get it done. But I'm a huge development guy. I love it. So when you have a guy that excites me, it, you know, me being that guy too, eventually at one point in my career, there's a lot of things I can share in my experiences with them that kind of took my game to another level myself. But that's 100%. We're right on the same page with all that for sure.
What are you seeing from a pitching standpoint? It seems like the Tommy John surgeries are, you're seeing younger and younger athletes get that going through. And is that from just specializing at an early age?
That and training habits. Training has changed a ton. The plyo balls or rubberized balls you can fire against the wall. I think that old school natural long toss, being able to open up your arm and do it naturally, is out the window a little bit. Guys grab heavier balls, throw them, and then they hop into that session feeling outstanding. And now they're not able to gauge their intent or effort level into the baseball, and things can really, they just kind of ramp things up too quick. So some of that, and it's load management. Obviously you can fall on some issues there. And then if you're not managing what they're doing in a weight room versus when they're on a mound, you could sign them up for injuries. So we want to make sure that we're doing our due diligence and having that communication with the weight room, and we're not allowing that to happen. But I don't like the year-round throwing. I just like being competitive, quite frankly. And once going back to, if you're with guys doing lessons for the last 10 years, how much better are you going to get is my big question. So
now, I mentioned a little bit earlier that it's been a busy fall for you. What's the kind of the schedule right now for your team as you're looking at going through the weather and different things right now as you get ready for when it really gets busy there in January and February?
So the rest of the fall here, we'll get more into our fall World Series scrimmages, more team environment stuff. We spent the first month kind of honing in on some of the fundamentals, our technique, and now it's more so how do we execute that in a more of a game environment. I would bet we're probably scrimmaged the least amount in the country right now, quite frankly. It's only been about 12 total innings in over a month, and because we got to hone in on some things. We need more reps, and you just don't get a ton of those reps when you're just rolling the balls out, playing games for 3 hours. You just don't get the quality reps with that. So we've been strategic in making sure that hitters and pitchers can go live up against each other, and we can still hold them accountable on how disciplined they are and our offensive approach. So we've been, I like our progression. We're going to hit some scrimmages hard here towards the end of the month, and then November is kind of our no-throw shutdown period. Some smaller groups. And then we'll get them away from the game a little bit, Thanksgiving and the holiday season. Then we'll lead up. And I mean, really, it's pre-exam week and exam week when they come back from Thanksgiving. And we'll say adios until, you know, January 10th. Scary time of year. But we'll do the best we can to develop a plan for them to take home and execute. So.
And when you took the job at Northwest, we're interviewing for the job here, and you saw Hughes Fieldhouse, how much did that play a role in some things there?
I don't know if I should say this, but I said if they didn't have that, I don't know if I would have taken the job. So it's a huge part of it, because especially with, you know, the conditions, and it's not the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Some people say the winter does drag here. I'm excited to see what that exactly means. But, it's 30. We're outside. We're going to find a way outside. But it's a huge resource to be able to get in there. It's just and it was well done. There's not a square inch that's not accounted for in there. It's just it was a tremendous job all around.
Yeah, I know that's something that's been beneficial for football as well.
Yeah, you know, no doubt. We try and stay out of there as much as we possibly can. I don't know how much you've been in it since fall,
much.
But I think we've been inside twice. But if weather gets bad, just the ability to be able to practice and be able to function is really important, as well as for us it's more the off season, the winter months, you know, the early parts of spring practice. We're not a priority at that time. So that's one of the things I think we do well as far as playing off each other, is that I'm going to work around Tony when we get to the spring. And that's the way it should be. I mean, he's in season. I'm not in season. So we've got to be able to work together. But it is a huge resource, no doubt.
Now, one final thing before we let Tony go here. we're in the playoffs for Major League Baseball, and for Rich and I, we're kind of done with that because the Cardinals had a little bit of a rough season, but your Detroit Tigers still playing some pretty good ball.
They are. I have not watched a ton of baseball this year. We're so focused on the guys we have here, but yeah, it's a rarity, and we'll enjoy the time they're in the playoffs, and hopefully we can make a little run. It's house's money right now. They just, nobody expected them to be there, and they caught, got good baseball at the right time, and they're hot, so we'll see what can happen.
I've got a good question. So sure. Who was your favorite player growing up? Were you a Miggy guy?
I liked Alex Rodriguez, too. I watched a ton of his swings. Verlander, hard not to like.
Yep.
Just that era of Tiger baseball that couldn't win a championship. I can't sleep well just knowing that, but it's my own fault for bringing it up.
Well, you never know. This might be the year.
Yeah, you never know.
All right, again, we've been talking with baseball coach at Northwest Missouri State, Tony Jandrin, along with Rich Wright. We'll come back and wrap things up with Rich right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Compass Dental Group, providing full-service dentistry from braces and implants to same-day crowns and more. From Drs. Bruce Twaddle, Brian Viertaler, and Spencer Twaddle, Compass Dental Group proudly supports the Bearcats. For more information, CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at BearcatSports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, serving the region for more than 150 years. The Forum provides local news, sports, and information online daily at MaryvilleForum.com or at 660-562-2424.
In the Trenches on KXCV KRNW is underwritten by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Greek night every Friday, banquet rooms, and more. For additional information, agrestaurant.com.
And welcome back to In the Trenches with the head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Wright. And Rich, before we talk about anything else here, I know a lot of people are anxious to know about former head coach Mel Churchma, and a lot of people know he's been battling some things, but just kind of talk about giving an update on how Mel's doing.
Yeah, it's been a strange season in the sense that I'm so accustomed to having him at practice, at games, those types of things. And we've communicated a lot over the phone. He's doing great. His numbers are looking good. He just keeps plowing ahead forward. And, I think that embodies who he is. And, it's one day at a time, but his attitude and his energy have been phenomenal. Talked to him today, as a matter of fact, and he just said, he was like, Rich, I've been down here for 11 weeks, and it kind of had me step back for a moment and think that, that's a week shy of 3 months, and it's just, he's got such a spirit about him that I'm certain he's going to whip this thing. He's got some testing he's got to go through, but things seem to be trending in the right direction, and he and Carol are, they're as much like parents to me as anything. And just to watch them, how they've handled this and how they've gone through this and their positivity, I think should serve as an inspiration to everybody.
Oh, no doubt about that. And they've been there for so many people as well. So And I know a lot of people really kept in touch with him and helped him out as well here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, it's funny. When he first got diagnosed, the first thing I did is I set up a Huddle account so he could watch practice. And, he had his grandson set up the MIAA network. First it was at the hospital, and then it's at the condo or apartment or wherever he's staying. And, he's in tune to what's going on with Bearcat Sports. And, that guy's the face of this place. Just wonderful when you get on the phone with him. I can't have a bad day when I talk to him. It's everything's positive. Everything's going in the right direction. The son of a gun is tougher than a pine knot, and he's going to figure out a way to do this. So, I can't wait to get him back home. and get him back in Maryville and get him back around the community, because I think he embodies what this place is all about.
And it just doesn't look right on that Bearcat game day when he's not around there.
There have been two or three times over the years where I've kind of looked and I'm like, God, I'd like to ask him a question right now, but I can't. And he's just been such a phenomenal resource for me. And, it's funny. You go back, and when he started talking about that today, I got thinking about my kids. And, he and Kara were the ones who went to Grandparents Day for my kids when they were in elementary school. And they had been at so many functions throughout our lives. And he was so integral, a part of me getting to Northwest, being here, coming back. I just can't picture my life, without him being a central force in it. So,
That's something I would talk about with Mel and Carol both, is just how much I think they really enjoyed all the kids that all the coaches surrounding him. It just seemed like it made their day when they would show up on the field.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I can remember countless Thanksgiving days. I mean, we went to Mel and Carol's house before I started hosting them once Mel retired. I can't remember which daughter it was, but somebody made Indian headdresses for Thanksgiving Day, and we had all of them lined up, and Carol made sure that everybody had one, and it was all very choreographed and organized, and it's so many of those little memories that come back.
Well, one thing to talk about before we let you go here, big game coming up on Saturday, Central Oklahoma. Only you look at the MIAA race, it's about as big as you can get right now.
Yeah, it's a tight race. Obviously, we just have to keep doing our part to control our destiny. We've got a huge challenge in front of us. They're a really good football team. They're undefeated for a reason. They're leading the MIAA in total offense. When you look at them statistically, and everybody's looking at the passing yards, they're rushing for 242 yards a game. And that is far and away leading the MIAA. They're really efficient at what they do. They create a lot of explosive plays, and so we're going to have our hands full on that side of the ball. Flip it over and look at them defensively from a structure standpoint, you're going to see a lot of Emporia State. You're going to see three down. Don't blitz a ton, but also don't try not to give up big plays. And so that's going to be the challenge, and that's going to be the chess match. They've gone to a up-tempo style of play where they're really playing fast. The nice thing about that is we've gone through the season. First and foremost, we've been able to see some of that. And then secondly, once you get to this point of the season, you kind of are who you are. You're going to have a wrinkle or a trick or things that you do. But, who you are is going to be who you are. And, so that's allowed us to focus on their personnel and what they do and how they do it, and see if we can slow it down.
And we finally get, week six or seven here of the season, and we've got our first 1 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, it's 1 o'clock kickoff. But, John, you're doing me dirty on this whole thing, because I looked at the weather forecast today, and it's supposed to be 93 degrees in the second week of October. What is going on with this?
I don't know. It should be kind of sweater weather right now.
I would hope so. Yeah. I look better in a sweater than I do in a t-shirt anyway. So,
all right, we'll talk to you before the game on Saturday.
All right, sounds great.
Yeah, and that's the head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Wright. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff, as I mentioned. We'll be on there at 12 noon with Bearcat Game Day from Edmond, Oklahoma, and Central Oklahoma. Thanks to Bearcat baseball coach Tony Gendron, along with Rich Wright. I'm John Coffey, and so long from A&G.